Back to 1 Corinthians.
We're
in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Chapter 3. We left off last week at verse 9. Thank you. Verse 9. And we found out, not that we didn't know this, but Paul was talking to the Corinthians about how they were taking sides with him and Apollos and Christ and Peter. And he explained to the Corinthians that they were all just ministers. All they did was plant and water, which means they just, maybe they taught or they preached something, but God gave the increase. It's something that God is doing. It's something that God is doing in every believer through his word. So you could learn. I've learned some of the most impactful things that I've learned. I've learned from children. When I did the children's ministry in Detroit, it's a big difference to go from teaching like a men's class on Saturday, and then Sunday you have children 12 years and under. You wouldn't believe it, but the more I learn more with the children than with the adults. But as it goes to show you that God uses his word, and people are just vessels. He says, one plants, one waters, God gives an increase. That's true. Paul says, who is Paul? Even though he said, I am the apostle, yes. But who am I really? I'm just a recipient. I'm just a person who God has entrusted his word with, and I give it out. So it's not the vessel who gets the honor, but who?
God.
It's God. It's the person who uses the vessel. If you're like a baseball player, you don't go and a guy hits all these home runs and you take the bat and like, oh, great. What a great bat.
Yeah.
It's the man who uses the bat, right?
Yeah, they do that in the Bible a lot, though.
They do that in the Bible?
Just like grab the vessel or, you know, just religion. Yeah,
out here, right.
Out here.
They do it out here, right. We do it. But Paul had to explain to him, he said in verse 7, he says, so then, that's a conclusion of his argument. He says, so then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. He's the one that's something. Didn't he say in 1 Corinthians, remember 1 Corinthians 1:30, he says, he that glorieth,
let him glory in the Lord.
And that's where our glory is, what he has done and what he's doing. So the Corinthians shouldn't get caught up with that. We just started. So that's verse 8. He says, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 8. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. We're just giving them time to. Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Paul says, you know what? I have mine. Peter will have his. Anyone who labors, they will have their own reward. You can't ride in on another man's efforts. Or, like I think we talked about last week, is we do this. But you know what? Most of my labor, let's say, this is one aspect of it. But I think more work is done outside of here than inside, because I see more people Monday through. Well, I can say Monday, Tuesday, well, through the week, I see more people out there than I see of you. And those are, even on the places that I go on different Sundays, those are the people that where you put the work in. Because they've never heard it. They've never considered it. Now, we were talking about one week, I said, we know the answer to questions that people don't even know to ask in Scripture. Did you hear that? We know the answer to questions that most believers don't even know to ask. Let me give you an example. It says, well, we know this. We take it for granted. One major thing is we know that Paul is our apostle and he has the orders for the church today, for us to walk in. Most people will say, well, Paul was just another minister. He was just one of the 12, original 12. They don't realize that he's separate and distinct. And if we didn't hear anything from him, we wouldn't even hear from God, the Gentiles. All you have to do is just meet somebody and say, what do you think about the Apostle Paul? Oh, he's a great missionary. Or, like one of the guys in the class, Thursday, he says, I like Paul. You know what's coming after that. But he says, I like Paul, but don't you think that we should focus more? See what I mean? We know that. I know, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, without Paul, you don't even know if you're a believer or not. Because Mark says this. Mark would say, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And these signs will follow them that believe. And you'll be doing all these miraculous things. And then you might think about, wait a minute. I'm not healing the sick. I'm not raising the dead. I'm not casting out demons.
I'm not picking up snakes.
Right. I'm not handling serpents.
Salvation check.
I can't, according to that verse.
That falls.
You might have a assembly full of non-believers. But they don't know that Mark, what? Mark was a Jewish apostle to who?
To Israel.
To Jews, telling them what they should do. Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles, telling you what to do. Us. How many people know the answer to that? Or, like I said, how many people even know that the question is, who do I follow today? In Scripture, how do I hear from God? How do I pick this up? And I know when I read that God is talking to me.
I don't just let it fall open wherever and stick my finger.
You flip it open, right? And this is my verse for today. You know, we laugh about that, but people do that. Yeah. People, this is my verse for the day. I know a guy, he says, well, I'm going to read Proverbs, and whatever I can get out of that, I'll take that.
Well, they live off devotions.
Oh, right. And you know what? Well, let's get back on here. Let me say this. And I was thinking about this the other day, is the Scripture is, I was going to say it's so complex. When I say complex, I mean intricate. Where you sit down and you think there's so much in there, but it is, it's fairly simple for us to get. When you do have somebody who actually breaks it up and shows you how to do it, how to read it, how to rightly divide it, where you go in and you can get the benefit out of it. But I thought it's so much in there, because I was looking at TV, and right now they're talking about the things that's happening in Israel, and one of my coworkers said, boy, this thing's going on here that's this world is coming to an end. And you know, I was thinking, it reminded me of a sports, one of the sportscasters. He said when the Heat were, they were losing, he says they were down like 2-3 games, whatever. He says, I'm not, it's not over till the fat lady sings. He says, I'm not saying the fat lady's singing, but she's humming like mad. And I, he didn't quite say it that way. It was a lot funnier. But you can see these things happening. We got nowhere else to go but to the edge. We're not going backwards. We got nowhere else to go but toward the end of this dispensation. And that makes me think, okay, everything that we read about, everything that we talk about, the Paul said it this way, now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Every day you're getting closer and closer to, you know what, you're going to find out what you've been talking about. You're going to find out what you've been putting your faith in. And that kind of like, wow, you had to sit back like, wow. Sooner or later, it's going to be showtime. Where they'll, I'll get back to you in just one second. When you think about this, all that stuff over in the Middle East, dealing with the Jewish people, why over there? Why is the almost the whole world is concentrated on that little strip, that little strip of land?
Back to Abraham.
And you know what? If you didn't have the scripture, you wouldn't even know what's going on. You would say, well, what's so important over there? If you didn't have scripture. Nobody else tells you that. Nothing else tells you that. Those are the things that make me, you know, and people say, well, this, we don't believe that, we go this way, we go, but nobody can quit fooling with this. Well, everybody is some way or another, they come back to this. You know, it's like a spider web. You can get when a spider, like that picture back there, like the spider web goes out. But it can hit, something can hit anywhere on that web, and it'll send vibrations through the whole web, and he'll know, the spider will know where it is. He'll know which way to go. When things happen in the world, or just even our lives, if you're familiar with scripture, anything that you're confronted with, It'll send some vibrations in here. It'll send you somewhere in the Word of God where you can say, this is why that's happening, or this is how I deal with that. I do. And you will too. It just, you know what, just a little more time involved, a little more time sitting down and considering it. It's not dogmatic. You just consider it. And after a while, you'll see, you know what? I've tried this other stuff, but this makes sense. I was reading one last thing. I was reading something last night about chimpanzees. Well, one guy was saying that chimpanzees, they have 98.5% of the same DNA as human beings. So that proves, you know what? We are just a graduated form of the ape.
Proves that we come from the same designer.
So, then here's another guy. He says, well, those are the numbers that you came up with. But this is not TV. I mean, this is not like the Planet of the Apes, like the movie where you won't wake up one day and all of a sudden he'll be much smarter than you.
Yeah.
This has been going on for thousands of years. People have been making the same argument. And we're still at the top. That's by design. Somebody made this, I won't say structure, somebody made us the way we are. And we didn't graduate up to it. We were we dropped out like this with this type of intellect, if not greater.
You know what it makes me think is that just a few percent can make such a huge difference almost in anything that you think about.
The distance of Earth to the sun.
Or close, don't count.
A person who performs stellar versus a person who doesn't even quite make it is just a few percent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The precision of it all.
Yeah, that's, anyway, I was saying, because, I will get back to this in a minute. It's just, I'm trying to say this, I can't say it the way I want to say it, but it's so. The thing that fascinates me most is us. You know, he said in the Psalms, he says, "What in Hebrews, he says, what is man that thou art mindful of him?" You know what? He crowned him with glory and honor. That's us. He crowned man with glory and honor. He had plans for man. He said he had made man upright, but man hath devised many inventions. That's something we walked away from the original design. But every time you look at us and the things that go on inside our bodies, our minds, it just fascinates me. And the only thing you could do is look at it and say, wow, even as bad off as we are, that somebody knew what they were doing. And that somebody is God. That just fascinates me. That doesn't do anything for y'all. Maybe I'm overblowing it, but
it's kind of like He put down the food that we're supposed to eat, right? So we're supposed to get our greens and everything and our vegetables, and we don't. And when we live off the nutrients that He gives us, we're more healthy. We don't get the cancers that are, fluent everywhere. And it's just kind of a testament to His design, the fact that a lot of us live off junk, and it's like really putting sugar in a car tank, and we can still run.
Right.
Imagine how much we can, survive just treating ourselves bad and doing bad things.
Yeah.
But even if you go the opposite end of like how you're saying, even the simplest organisms or just a blade of grass, it's just amazing that that's
how
constructed
complex.
Much less,
yeah.
You know, how complex we are. So it's just...
And the fact that there's medical doctors that cut us open and see the beauty and the amazing creation, and yet they don't get that there's a designer. So what's wrong with you? Can you not see it?
Did you have your hand up? So anyway, that's something that I can't. You know what? I think I spend that's in my mind almost every day. I don't know why it strikes me like that, but I could. You know, I could walk. You know, the other day was a blood moon or a big moon or what was it called? The super moon, big moon, super moon. And I'm just. You know what? I go out there and I just look up there and I'm thinking. Okay, there's another thing. It's like we just got here. We just got here somewhere. How do we get here? And then there's other planets out there that
billions of light.
That this is not going on inside those planets. Don't tell me that somebody didn't have, and like you said, Bob, it's just a certain percentage that makes this planet different from that planet, or that planet, or that planet, or that planet.
It's the only inhabitable.
So many things had to be present for life to exist.
So, you know what? It's just, and you think about it, it all adds up to somebody, right? Somebody had plans for this planet. and this species, and nobody explains that to you but Scripture. You go back and he says, okay, well, who am I? Well, let's see. You know what? You maybe you just evolved and here you are, or you had a creator who made you top of the food chain for a reason. And you say, okay, well, what about this, even this earth? It says, well, it just happened, or that same creator picked this place for a reason. And then you even look at, like, Jerusalem. It's like, why are they over there doing that? He says, well, maybe they just really love that place over there. If me, I'm going to Hawaii. I'm going to fight for that. I'm going to the Bahamas. I'll fight for that. I'll go to where, you know, where it's lush and green. I'll fight for that. But when you go over there, it's just a bunch of dust, dirt. Mm-hmm. Why are they fighting for that? Because you know what? It's some people over there.
God's
people. And God says, you know what? They're going to be after you. Because I said, I have something that I want to do with you. There's no other reason. What? Look at this verse. Then we're going to go to Corinthians. Look at this verse. Look at Acts chapter. Acts chapter 9. I'm sorry. I'm just sidetracked for a minute here. Acts chapter 9. This is what happened in Acts chapter 9.
Paul.
What about him? Paul.
He met the Lord.
He met the Lord. He got saved and the Lord chose him in Acts chapter 9, right? Mm-hmm. Before Acts chapter 9, who was at center stage?
Peter
and the 12, right? Okay, here we go. So Acts chapter 9 is when Paul gets saved. That marks the beginning of something new that God is doing. Verse 9:26, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and out at Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and he disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. When the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. 31. Then had all the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, and were multiplied. Now, think about this. When just a few years earlier, the persecution affected everybody. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, they had to flee to those places. Now, Paul, when Paul gets chosen, all of a sudden, the persecution shifts to him. And the reason I say that is, why? Why that man? Just like we talked about, why this earth? Why us? Why that land? Why this man?
One thing is, wasn't he the main persecutor himself?
He was the main persecutor himself, right? And all of a sudden, the persecution stops with Peter and the rest of them, and all of a sudden it's this man. Mm-hmm. Well, why that man?
His former bosses were probably upset with him.
The who?
His former bosses.
Oh, his former bosses were no doubt probably upset.
You're there to persecute the church. He was the main guy behind it.
Well, all throughout
the I'm sure there's a spiritual component too, but you know, he would be the focus, right?
Yeah, I mean, he was God's chief enemy, right? And
for him to turn another side shows the power.
Well,
they had rest because he lightened up on his persecution. But the reason I'm getting at this is God chose him. Mm-hmm. God chose that man, and now he went from the persecutor to the persecuted, right? To the persecuted. Now, okay, you had a statement?
Oh, I was just going to say, from the very beginning, you know, when the Lord said that, you know, I'll put enmity between your seed and thy seed, and from that point on, every declaratory moment, that, you know, first the Lord, you know, he picked Abraham, and, you know, then, you know, Moses, and brought them out of Egypt. Everywhere along the way, as God made his plan more and more revealed, Satan immediately counteracted those things. Right?
Yeah. I mean,
like when the Lord came, that's when he was, you know, healing the sick and casting out demons. Well, you don't see anywhere in the Old Testament anybody casting out demons, but we knew from prophecy that that would be one of the signs that the kingdom was coming. And so, seems to me, if it shifted from what was going on with the 12 to Paul, then what was going on with the 12 would cease because the focus was now to God's new man or God's new.
All right, and again, that's what I'm saying, that every we know the answer to the questions that people don't even think to ask. So anyway, let's get back to Corinthians. I'm sorry for that sidetrack there, but. Sometimes it's, you know, it just is there, and you know, and it'll be there tomorrow, you know, and the next day, and the next day. So he says, verse 9, we are laborers together with God. Back to 3:9, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. You know, there you go. There's the to think the God of the universe is working with those Corinthians. Not just the Corinthians, but all those who trust him, that he says, you are God's husbandry. A husbandry is like a field. I think who was here said that it's a field. It's where you till the ground. You are God's building. It's when you're building, you know, an edifice. He says, you are God's husbandry. You are God's building. He's working with you. Or let me, he's working in you. He's breaking new ground. When you get saved, he's breaking new ground in you. When you get saved, he's building up something in you. And he's using all of us for his benefit. You think about a garden, like a farmer is the same thing as a husbandman. That's a good term to use. But you plant a garden, you know, you have tomatoes or potatoes and corn and squash or whatever. Why do you do it just to do it? What's your aim?
To bear fruit.
To bear fruit? For what? Just to say, look what I grew.
Depends on what you're talking about.
You want to eat. You want to benefit from it. You want to eat it, right? You want to eat that food. You have a purpose for planting that. Mm-hmm. It's for to sustain life. And God says, "I'm working with you. I'm working in you for a reason." When I save you, I have something in mind. It's not just, and it's not to, like we say, it's not to give you all the best for you to be happy. He says, I'm doing something in you for me. To think the God of the universe, he wants to use us for his purpose. He says, you are God's husbandry. You are what? God's building. According to the 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. One foundation, Jesus Christ. That's the base we build on, spiritual base that we build on. Not any other religious figure that people tout, like the Pope or Muhammad or Buddha or Confucius or Zoroaster. Any of those other spiritual leaders, they may have said some things that we would consider beneficial. No man is completely wrong. A lot of the principles are the same. But he says the foundation is what? Jesus Christ. And he says, and no other foundation can be laid that's already laid. And we build, Paul says, we're building on that. So we start with Christ. That's just salvation. Is, you know what he said in the Old Testament? It is Old Testament. But it says, when he asked Peter, he says, Peter, Jesus asked Peter, he says, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? You know, that's the same question today. The same relevant question today is, what do you think of Christ? Whose son is he? Everything hinges on that man. You know, people, well, I don't believe that. I don't believe him. It's just fiction. It's a myth. And it says, that's the $64,000 question. What do you think of him? Whose son is he? If he's just the son of Joseph, why the big fuss? Why can't we shake it, move on to something else? You think after, what,
a couple thousand years,
we'd find somebody new to follow, wouldn't we? But it still pops up. Whoever pops up, it's the, you know what, he's the undisputed spiritual heavyweight of the universe. Because everybody comes up against him. It's not Jesus Christ, it's him. Nope, it's not Jesus Christ, it's this one. Nope, it's not Jesus Christ, it's this one. Nope. He still comes out a winner. Look at Acts chapter 5. Hold your hand there, look at Acts 5.
People curse, they don't swear
when Buddha's name was. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, hit your hand
with a hammer. Not what you're going to say. Where are we? Acts chapter. Even in our own country right now, you don't dare say anything against the Muslims.
5.
But they can trash
Christ all day long. Essay 5. 38:39. Yes, that's it. Thank you. Verse 34, start at 34. Acts 5:34. This after the these are the apostles who had just seen Jesus after his resurrection, which gave them courage, encouraged them, and gave them boldness to go out and continue to preach. And the leaders had told them, don't mention that name. Or else. 34, he said this, "Then stood there up one..." let's see. 28. Go back to 28. I'm sorry. 28. Okay. They brought him to the council, before the council, and they said to them, 28, saying, "Did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. Do you remember who Gamaliel was?
Gamaliel was
Paul's teacher. A doctor of the law. He was the man of the law back then. So he commanded respect. That's where they said he had in reputation among all the people. He had respect. Verse 35, "And said unto them, Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who were slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God." Now you think about this. How many, like Bob said, 2,000 years, and this hasn't been overthrown yet. Just say, here's a man, he says, this man rose up saying, "I'm somebody." Well, that fizzled out. He says, another man rose up after that. You know what's interesting? His name was Judas. Mm-hmm. Where do you think he came from? Well, when I say not that Judas, but the tribe of Judah. Mm-hmm. And he came out of Galilee. If anybody had a claim, he could have said, "I'm the Christ. I'm Judah. My name's Judah. I'm out of Judah. Galilee. The prophets say I'm coming out of Galilee. Here I am." He says, he rose up and he says, that one fizzled out too. He said, and his followers, he also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. Now all of a sudden, here's another man pops up. Jesus. And his followers, you know what? Looks like the same thing's happening, doesn't it? They get dispersed, but yet they keep coming back. Can't get rid of them. We told you to be quiet. They won't be quiet. They keep growing. 2,000 years later, they're still growing. He says, you might be fighting against God when you fight against those people. So you think, by all this time, why hasn't we finally put this to rest? Why haven't we discovered the real thing if this is not?
You're asking me?
No, Annette was getting ready to say something.
That was kind of off subject. I don't remember what it was now, I'm sorry.
That fast?
Well, it's a rhetorical question because we have the answer. There's not another.
That's what right. That's what I'm getting at is the fact that you can try, just like Scripture is. When I say Scripture, you have this, and you know there was a guy, a good friend of mine. I won't say good friend, but a guy, an older gentleman that I talked to for years, and he was. You know, a lot of things that we would discuss in Scripture. And then all of a sudden, a couple of years ago, he says, well, he says, I don't know if I believe in the God of the Bible. I was like, really? And it kind of shook me because, like, wow, this man, he probably forgot more than I've learned. And I was like, why you say that? And he says, just some things in there. He says, but at the same time, I can't deny that it's something about that book. That's supernatural.
Well, the thing is, with Christ, all you have to do is read it, and he's either a liar, or he's a lunatic, or he's God. Those are the only options you can come to.
Whatever God has thought or purpose shall come to pass, and I cannot find the verse.
There you go. Well, she's got a little tablet, so she can ring that up. But that's the thing that what I'm getting at is here's a man. You know what is? He said, "Well, I don't know if I believe this, but yet he can't keep his hands out of the pot." It's like you're telling me that's saying, you know what? I don't like chocolate, but every time you turn around, you got a chocolate bar. If you don't like chocolate,
then why are you?
Then why are you eating chocolate all the time? If you don't believe this is, if I didn't believe this is the word of God, you know what? Why would I waste my time in it? Trying to prove, if I'm trying to prove that it's not. If I don't believe it's not, then that's like a plant where you see it's dead and you water it. You try to water it every day and it's wilted. He's like, I think it's going to come back. It's dead. It's not coming back. If this had no power, no influence, I would leave it quickly. Just, you know what? Find me another book that I can get some results out of.
I've got the verse here. It's Isaiah 14:24. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. As I have purposed, so shall it stand.
14? Well, that's
14:24.
Was that the one? That's Isaiah 14? Okay. Anyway, well, she just quoted it. We don't need to. But the reason that I went to is the foundation has been laid is Jesus Christ. And that's where our everything is based on what we believe about him. That's,
you know what else, if you think about it, I mean, who's got to be the greatest theologian of all time? Satan. He believes it.
That's
he knows what's in this book.
More than we do.
That's right.
More than we do. But especially in this day with Islam and the Islamic State on the rise. You know who told us that was coming?
This book.
This book did. If you knew this book, you'd say, you know what? I know. I know what's going on over there. I was telling the guy this. This was years ago. I said, you know what? This is okay. I said, but when this thing goes all the way around, whatever, all the stuff happening in other places, I said, when it gets back around to Syria and Damascus, in that area, that's when my ears will perk up. And you know what? It's over there. And they're making all these treaties, which is, you know what? They're breaking them back and forth, which just, these are just, you know what he said that? He said, this man, he will be a truce breaker, whoever he comes from. And I'm not saying, I'm looking now for Assad to come in and say, you know what? I'm going to get involved in this, and we're going to squash this right now. Because that's the man with the power over there. Even though he's in Syria, in Damascus, that's the man who could, he can get them to the table and say, let's cut it out. And they will.
They were saying on the news tonight, they were showing, I forget now because I can't keep track of all those people over there, but they were saying that former enemies are now joining forces against the new enemy, that they're fighting together now. It's just interesting, the strange bedfellows that this whole conflict is creating.
You know what? Doesn't surprise me one bit. But anyway, we're going to stop there only because we need to stop there. But what's the matter? I mean, I can't build on anything else in this because I'm already strayed so far from what I wanted to say.
I think you should ring the bell.
So, no mas. So we'll pick it up next week in verity, in truth and verity. We'll pick it up next week in verse 11.